Thus, the process of hearing to listening travels through getting ready to listen. That means I gear myself up. I see, somewhere to be an effective listener or an active listener, you need to gear yourself up. That means you need to tell yourself, now I've got to be focused. That again is up to you. Listening to understand and not to refute. Just hear the person out. You do not have to argue. We just discussed the 90-10 principle. 10% of life is what happens to you. How you react is 90%. That means there's a big difference in that ratio. So we need to understand how we are reacting or responding. So at that stage, it is best not to refute. That means not to argue, not to say a no, not to put forward any aspect which is negative. Maintain emotional balance. Focus on main ideas. Avoid daydreaming. And final, get the message. And the final step, that means get the message. So the final step here is whatever is conveyed to you, that is the message. Now, take notes when we talk of listening. Well, if you take notes, if the focus is too much on taking notes, then again, you will lose concentration. Guard against daydreaming. Yes, you have got to be there, right there and then. Listen for main ideas. Whenever any information is conveyed to you, there is one main concept. That means the theme. Be emotionally calm, not to be temperamental. If you are temperamental, that means extremely moody, then the situation can go out of hand. Listen to understand, not refute. If right from the start you're conditioned that you want to argue, you do not want to listen, you wish to say something which is against or anti, so you want to refute and say that means a no, then ideally listening as an activity will not go smooth. Responsible for listening. Take that responsibility that I'm expected to listen. Be ready to listen. So main aspect, you have to condition yourself. Apply these steps and improve your listening process. How to be a good listener? Here is a trick question for you students. What do you hear right now? Now, when we say what do you hear right now, it could also mean are you listening to us, or say if there's some noise in the background. Say if someone's mobile is ringing, say if the car on the road, someone honks and you can hear it. Say if the fan is on, you can hear that. So what do you hear right now? And actually, as an individual, everybody has to say you speaking. But very often, you're probably also hearing your own mind, that means your own thoughts, your own issues, own problems. So what do you hear right now? If your home is like mine, you hear the humming sound of your computer or the printer, the low throbbing of traffic from the nearby highway, and the noise created by the cartoon characters on the TV next door being watched by kids at home. The slight trick in the question is that by asking you what you were hearing, I prompted your brain to take control of the sensory experience and made you listen rather than just hear. So if you heard the horn, but you listened to us, that means you were with us. The horn, the car was just going by and someone honked. But if you're only with that thought process that you're yet on the road, you're yet thinking of the car, the honking, then ideally that is where you are. So you are being an ineffective listener for that moment. That in effect is what happens when an event jumps out of the background enough to be perceived consciously rather than just being part of your auditory surroundings. Now, something, if it's spoken to you right now, it should be within this immediate environment. Auditory. What we're trying to say out here is that when we listen also through eyes. That means when I'm observing you speaking, I observe your body language too. If your body language is as effective as your words, then I will listen better. The difference between the sense of hearing and skill of listening is attention. Hearing is a vastly underrated sense. We tend to think of the world as a place that we see, interacting with things and people based on how they look. It is a reality. Studies have shown that conscious thought takes place at about the same rate as visual recognition. When you see someone, like for example, it is said that if you've gone for an interview, it is said within the first 30 to 60 seconds, probably what is observed of you makes the first impression. I guess the way you walk with your confidence, the way you present yourself in those 30 to 60 seconds. So what is it? There's an observation made within that short span of time, and that becomes a first impression. Studies have shown that conscious thought takes place at about the same rate as visual recognition. So I see someone for the first 30 to 60 seconds and the thought process starts moving as to what you really think of that person to be. In terms of personality, in terms of probably how he or she has, you know, presented himself. As I'm saying, besides the walk, it's also through the personality, the confidence and the eye contact, which is very, very important. But hearing is a quantitatively faster sense. I guess they say it's faster because when you've heard, you've retained it, it's locked, you know, you've retained it, it's locked here. So that's what they are saying. How to be a good listener? This is because hearing has evolved as our alarm system. It operates out of line of sight and works even while you're asleep, right? So many times, don't you notice while you're asleep, if someone has dropped something, you immediately wake up. And because there is no place in the universe that is totally silent, your auditory system has evolved a complex and automatic volume control, fine-tuned by development experience, to keep most sounds off your cognitive radar. Cognitive is the ability to reason, to rationalize. Unless there might be of use as a signal that something dangerous or wonderful is somewhere within a kilometer. So what are you seeing? If you hear the ambulance and if you're driving, say by chance if the roads are empty, what will you do? The cognitive process comes in. That means your logic. Look, the roads are empty. Let me just wait at the side. Let the ambulance go. Why? Because I heard the ambulance siren. And of course, it is very important that I wait aside if I'm driving, because I know I can let the ambulance move ahead. Now, this is because we talk of volume control, where I've realized that this is for someone who's very much in need of reaching to a hospital. Then we talk of cognitive, whereby you have the ability to rationalize. And then ideally, you know that it's so close to your car so that you let it go, which is detected through your ears. Be attentive. This is where attention kicks in. Attention is not the same monolithic brain process. The different types of attention, they use different parts of the brain. The sudden loud noise that makes you jump activates the simplest type, the startle. You move behind, you get startled, you get worried, right? Probably you see a cockroach, so you move, you're startled, right? A chain of 5 neurons from your ears to your spine takes that noise and converts it into a defensive response. You want to defend yourself, you get scared, so you move back, okay? It elevates your heart rate, of course. Hunching your shoulders, I could do this, right? And making you cast around to see if whatever you heard is going to pounce and eat you. If you've heard something, so a noise which is a bit scary. So again, you do that and you look around. See, if there's a cockroach, as I said, again, when I do this, I'm looking. So I'm defending. I'm actually becoming defensive. I'm looking as to where it is. I'm getting stress. So faster heartbeat, that's what it is. The simplest form of attention requires almost no brains at all and has been observed in every case studied. More complex attention kicks in when you hear your name called from across a room or hear an unexpected bird call from inside a subway station. So at an odd place, something unexpected. This stimulus-directed attention is controlled by pathways through the temporoparietal parietal and inferior frontal cortex regions. We take this to be part of brains, mostly in the right hemisphere, areas that process the raw sensory input but don't concern themselves with what you should make of that sound. So it just is making you aware that you've heard this sound. That's why areas that process the raw sensory input, I've heard that sound, it stops there. What you think and feel, it's not at this level when you talk of these parts of the brain. Neuroscientists call this bottom-up response because you're just listening to it and for a second you may be just thinking, how come I am actually, you know, hearing this kind of a bird call that too inside a subway station. So you just are stopping at that. Stay away from distractions. Now, when we talk of listening, listening is difficult when potential distractions are leaping into your ears every 50,000th of a second and pathways in your brain are just waiting to interrupt your focus to warn you of potential dangers. Now, this can happen if something is constantly on your mind, you find it difficult to really think of anything else. This ideally is a very big challenge because this kind of a situation will not let you be a listener. That means not even forget active listener, will not let you be a listener. Constantly, your mind is boggled with thoughts. Listening is a skill that we are in danger of losing in a world of digital distraction and information overload. Yes, we're so familiar with, say, probably WhatsApp now. Now, of course, it's wonderful to have WhatsApp to connect to one and all in any part of the world. But we also need to understand that this is ideally cutting us off from people. We are socializing less. We're interacting less with our own people. And this means that the ability to listen is definitely not going to be there because we're constantly communicating but via WhatsApp. So the ability to listen will not be required, the focus will not be required, and as human beings we are cutting off from each other. This means that though we're communicating with people at a different level, which means that we're communicating with people whereby we don't need to listen. And yet we dare not lose it because listening tunes our brains. So we should not lose the skill of being an active listener. Listening tunes our brains to the pattern of our environment faster than any other sense. Paying attention to non-visual parts of the world feeds into everything from our intellectual sharpness to our dance skills, right? How observant you are. Say you're watching television and you pick up someone, a trait or a skill which ideally is shown. So a cooking show. So you probably feel this is what you want to make. Luckily, we can train our listening just as with any other skill. You realize you want to start playing chess. So you feel okay. But I want to be a very good chess player. So you feel okay. Let me just, you know, sharpen my skills to understand how do I play this game well. So that's what we are saying. We can train ourselves just the way we train ourselves for any other aspect. Stay away from distractions. Listen to new music when jogging rather than familiar tones. This too, again, can make your mind go in a different channel. If you're listening every day to the same songs, then even if you're going for a brisk walk or jogging, you're so boggled down with a problem that your mind at the same time is so used to the same songs you listen to every day. So you ideally are distracted even then, when actually you've decided to go for a walk to be at ease, to be relaxed. Listen to your dog's whines and barks. He is trying to tell you something is not right. Yes, dogs have that sense in terms of effective communication too. They connect faster to what you think and feel than us. Listen to your supervisor's or colleague's voice, not only the words which after a few years may repeat, but to the sounds under them. the emotions carried in the harmonics. I want this to be done by tomorrow. You're constantly dealing this. So the words where we are putting stress, that needs to be looked into. Stop talking. You can't multitask. That means speaking and listening. If you're talking, you're not listening. This rule applies to the talking inside your head. If you're thinking intently about what you want to say, you're not listening to what is being said. We've discussed this point when you probably are going for an interview. Stay away from distractions. Our boss never listens to us. It's not just a complaint of a problematic relationship. It has also become an epidemic in an organization that is exchanging convenience for content, speed for meaning. Right? Now, I guess this is more stereotype, right? What we assume when we say this sentence, it's more stereotype. So, what are they saying? It has also become an epidemic in an organization that is exchanging convenience for content, speed for meaning. If someone is giving you information, instructions, if someone delegates tasks, if someone is being authoritative, that is what he or she is supposed to do. They are at that level to behave in that manner. So all you need to do is be an active listener. The richness of life does not lie in the loudness and the beat, but in the timbres and the variations that you can discern if you simply pay attention. That means when someone is talking, see the tone, understand the tone, understand the way this person is conveying it to you. Understand through the body language. So you have to go at a subtle level. We're going at a superficial level. This is it. This is what told to me. This is how he said it to me. But look at the other layers. After all, by not listening, it is the boss who is at loss, not the workers who talk to him. Well, I would take this to be individualistic. Very often, points of views are given whereby it could be effective in the long run, but they're not taken into consideration. So it is a lot to do with the person who is there. It is about each individual person at whatever designation or level he is. Do not be in a hurry to form your opinion. Yes, this is a fact. Very often when you're told something, you're in a hurry to say. Now, if you're in a hurry to say, then it can be a problem. How often we have passionately expressed a gut reaction only to become turned around and regret what we said after hearing more of the facts. So we didn't have the patience to hear the facts. We did not think in a neutral manner. We just put forward what we wanted to without taking care or looking or focusing into other people's feelings. Hearing the complete story, allow for a thoughtful pause between reacting, a space in which to ask yourself, do I have the whole story? Do I have complete information? Do not read between the lines. People are unique, but we tend to create labels like he or she's liberal, deadhead, that means stony, really not listening. Okay, wise guy, someone who has the intellectual as well as the logic, and we think we know what is inside, not necessary. Suddenly, we believe we know everything about someone, but they're not really all alike. More you listen, more do you realize this fact, right? The more I listen to a person, the more I interact with the person, I realize that whatever I think or feel for him or her is not what they actually are. Like, we need to understand there are various shades to people. We need to understand each shade is applicable in a particular situation. Wait before you respond. While we may not consciously feel the need to be right, we tend to have certain ideas about reality and feel groundless when they are threatened. If my ideas are not acceptable, I feel, oh, my ideas are not acceptable. So there was this person who was working in an organization for 10 years. Whenever he prepared a report, is prepared by a subordinate and submitted to top management. Whenever he prepared a report, he felt his ideas, views were really not acceptable. Why? maybe the way his presentation skills were, maybe he was not effective as far as written communication is concerned. Maybe he did not have the skill to really put forward something unique or exceptional as far as a report is concerned. Groundless now and then is not a bad aspect. Without it, we cannot break new ground or find common ground. Now, what do I mean by this? We tend to have certain ideas about reality and feel groundless. If I have certain ideas about a certain event, the moment I have people who are too rigid and oppose my ideas, the moment I have people who are not willing to accept my ideas, then ideally I may feel intimidated or threatened. Nothing wrong if my ideas are opposed or not accepted. But what will happen then? I will never reach a stage where I'm willing to put forward new ideas. I will never reach a stage where I should be more innovative, because I cannot accept the fact that my ideas are threatened. Concentrate. When someone is speaking, stay focused. If you are attentive, you will show signs of focus, such as eye contact. To show we are listening, maintain eye contact. In the US, not making an eye contact has a connotation of someone untrustworthy. We assume, not necessary, we assume that very often you don't look into the eyes of a person due to lack of confidence, or maybe you are or may have done something incorrect, so you do not have the courage to face the person through eye contact. There could be various other reasons too. You have fear and shyness of subordinates. You probably feel you're not well prepared or updated with appropriate information, so you do not want to look into the eyes of the person. Various reasons to it. But realize too that steady eye contact in some cultures is considered impolite or aggressive. Give non-verbal cues. Nod, lean when the speaker is talking. The moment I lean forward, it means I'm taking more interest or being enthusiasm. The moment I nod, I'm saying either a yes or a no. See, if I don't express any emotions, that means non-verbal communication is also about expressing emotions. That means a nod with eye contact, of course, shows some sort of respect that, all right, we agree to you. So we need to understand that these aspects are very crucial to let the message go across that we are concentrating and listening. Nod, lean toward the speaker. Take on the general demeanor of someone who's interested. At times, people have a stoic look. What is stoic? Someone who has no emotions expressed. That means you neither smile, you have eye contact in a very firm and rigid manner. You don't really communicate anything besides work. You're too aggressive as a person. Then it can get difficult. Encourage the speaker to go on, especially over the phone. Hearing no response feels like no one is listening. Over the phone, if there is no response, it can really be a put off, because you really don't know whether the person is listening. You don't even know if the person is hung up or is there, or you just feel the person is not concerned with whatever you are saying. Visualization. Visualize a very important technique. Visualization is a technique that can enhance listening. A picture is worth a thousand words. What is expressed through a diagram, a picture, will say much more than words can convey. It probably is to make complex information simpler. One way is to visualize what you're being told. Some people are more visual than others. If visualization is a chore, then a help, then you may not be a visual person. You say, oh yes, I thought of this, I have visualized this. So you're making it kind of just a by the way aspect. When you talk of actually visualizing, you're reaching out there through your thought process. But anything new takes some adjustment and might take a few tries before feeling natural. The first step in remembering names is deciding that they're important to remember. You need to make them feel a part of your team. So it is important to remember. Listen when you're told about someone prior to introductions. Repeat the names when you're introduced. Make associations to remember names. Keep in touch, interact. It's absolutely fine to make a mistake. Even if I call out somebody, to somebody and say the wrong name, I definitely can apologize and see to it that the next time I bear in mind the name. Here, nonverbal messages. Do you know you need your eyes as well as ears to listen? We've discussed this in the previous slides. Nonverbal message can only be seen, not heard. A spoken message does not come only through words. And nonverbal message can occupy as much as 90% of the content in a message. So your words are accompanied by more than 90% through gesture, body language, eye contact. In order to get the message from the speaker, you have to pay attention to the body language. That means 55%. Then you talk of tone, which is 35%. But this is more face-to-face. See, if I'm talking to you over the telephone, I may say hi, right? So when I do this, the tone doesn't say it, but the body language says it. But when it's face-to-face, hi. So the tone as well as body language, all the more, says it. The speaker's body language and voice can tell about the speaker's state of mind and feelings. How many times have you been influenced by the way a person looks at you? Definitely. And by someone's tone of voice. Tone, definitely. Assertive tone, aggressive tone, extremely polite, rude. That can influence your thought process. A very firm tone will make you feel, look, I cannot argue, I need to get this done. When you talk of influence by the way a person looks at you, yes. With a lot of confidence and says that, the look says that, look, this needs to be done. So, that one firm look, no reasons, no excuses. This needs to be done. Here, nonverbal messages, facial expressions, gestures, and posture. A frown, you may make the other person feel, look, you're asking me some rubbish question. I've discussed this before, right? So, that of irritation. Over-enthusiasm or excitement can be seen in a person's face and gestures. Posture shows the level of interest. So imagine the lectures when they're recorded, if you just stand with slouch. So where's the level of interest, enthusiasm, right? Lack of eye contact, looking away and turning the corners of mouth downward show that the speaker is unhappy. To be a good listener, you have to be aware of your own body language also. Your body language can affect the speaker. Remember, you can stay silent, but you can hardly disguise your body language. Body language can never be concealed. That means people who are actors may somewhere give some cue or hint, Q-C-U-E, or hint as to what actually the body language is wanting to say, which is very different from the words and then, when we talk of observe, listen and ask. Ask questions. Whatever you feel, of course it has to be related to the present, the discussion, or the topic. It should be put forward. Open questions encourage a speaker. When we talk of open questions, they elicit a detailed response than closed questions. What and why are usually helpful starts to open questions. Going into a listening situation with questions in your mind will help you remember and often put information into the framework of your existing knowledge. The very fact that you go ahead there to discuss, you already have questions to ask. It definitely will make a difference. Listen to body language. Be quick to clarify assumptions if you are unsure or getting a negative message. So when we talk of unsure or negative message, you're saying open to body language and speak to clarify your assumptions. Okay. Also summarize what you understood and check with the speaker. Summarizing is often helpful, especially if you had a misunderstanding and are unsure of expectations or have just reached an agreement. Ensure that everyone is coming away with the same idea. What is summarization for? When we talk of summarization, it's basically to know what is conveyed to you is understood in the same manner as what what and how we wished to convey. In case you have missed something, it is likely that it could be the case with other listeners too. All of you get a chance to clear your understanding when the speaker comments on your summary. We must be aware of the speaker, aware of verbal and non-verbal gestures or cues, and aware of your own listening strengths and challenges, right? Some topics which are discussed may not come easy to you. You may find it difficult to understand. So it may be a challenge for you. So in fact, there you need to give more attention.